one article before we read the text. So there was a Baltimore Oriole ball game, 1894. Springtime, the Orioles came to Boston to play. During the game was something happened that was anything but routine. The Orioles' John McGraw got into a fight with the Boston third baseman. Within minutes, all the players from both teams were on the field in a massive brawl. The warfare quickly spread into the grandstands. Fans began fighting, and it went from bad to worse. The fans in the stands set the stands on fire and burnt the field, or burnt the stadium to the ground. Not only did that happen, but the fire spread and burnt down 107 other Boston buildings as well. And it started with one fight at third base, and it burnt much of the city down. Is that not how anger is sometimes? Well, it was just supposed to be on third base, but it spreads and it damages people that we never planned on hurting. So important. We've already prayed. Let's look down, please, in Genesis chapter number 4 for a moment. Genesis chapter 4, we see the first mention of anger in the Bible, and that is Cain. He's the first son born, Cain and Abel, of course, and his mother could actually be said she was raising Cain. Okay, so chapter 4, looking down at verse number 5, what happened? Abel brought an offering, God accepted it. Cain brought an offering, God did not accept it, and there's a reason. Like Frank Sinatra, did his own thing. He did it his way. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? So he was all angry about this thing. And then verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Isn't that amazing? It was God that rejected Cain's offering, but Cain got so angry he couldn't hurt God, so he hurt the person next to him, his brother. So uncontrolled anger ended up in the first murder in the Bible. And it was a real bad murder because he killed 1/4 of the world's population. Wow. Folks, 4 people on the planet, 1. Oh, okay, you'll get it later. Look, you get what you pay for. What'd you put in the offering? Okay, so and then if you'll look over, please, to King Saul. I want us to see him for a moment in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18 for a moment. 1 Samuel 18. We're going to look down in verse number 7. 1 Samuel 18, a little backdrop to the story. David kills the giant because the king was unwilling to fight the giant. And so the ladies start singing. Ladies naturally are cheerleaders. And they started saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain his 10,000s. So David got more credit than the king did, 18:7. The women answered one another as they played, said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And later on, he tries to kill David, and he has anger issues all throughout the scripture. Threatens to kill his son. He does kill all of the priests in a certain city. Just all throughout the scripture, anger issues. And so there's Saul because of jealousy, anger. And then let's look back at Numbers chapter 20 for a moment. We see a real good guy here, and that's Moses. What a great leader. But again, he did have an anger issue one time we know of. That was out of control. Numbers chapter number 20, if you will. And the people pushed Moses to his limit. And they kept demanding, give us water, give us bread, give us food. And so Numbers 20 and verse 11, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, hear ye now, ye rebels. Now, I don't know if he was in Texas when he said this, or Alabama. Must have been a southern state. He didn't say, you Yankees. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? I mean, he had reached his limit. You know, here's Moses. He never asked to lead a million people. He never asked to go on this journey. Now he's in charge. He's hearing all their whining. Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice. God told him to hit it once. He disobeyed the Lord. The Lord gave the people water. And God basically said, you just lost your ticket to the promised land. The higher you go, the less God puts up with. The closer you are to the top in leadership, leading your family, business, a country, ministry, the less he puts up with. Who would think hitting something one extra time would cost you entering? With God, it did. He allowed people to push him to do something because they made him angry. Let's keep going a little further here. Let's look down and look back at Genesis, Genesis chapter number 37. So there's different ways or different triggers that triggered people to reveal anger in their lives. Genesis 27, we see Joseph's brothers. And where is it here? Yeah, 37, I'm sorry, 37:3. Joseph's brothers get angry at him. And why did they do that? Because of favoritism. Their daddy had a favorite son, and it wasn't them. Genesis 37:3. Well, let's find out. How many of you were your parents' favorite? I'm lifting my hand. Okay. Come on, it's okay to smile, you know. We were the favorite. How many of you felt like I wasn't the favorite out of the litter? Okay, some of you. Okay. I kept telling my brother, you weren't the favorite, you know. Anyway, but 37:3. Now, Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph. This is what the Bible says. More than all his children. It's not what the people said. God said this. He said, Jacob, you love Joseph more than all your sons. Let me encourage you, and you know this. You can never show favoritism to any of the kids. They all have to know they're number one. They're not second, third in line. Whether it's his, mine, ours, they have all got to feel like we are number one. And these didn't, because the dad gave Joseph something he didn't give anybody else. I remember when my dad would come home from trips sometimes. And I remember this about three times. He'd come in and say, all right, Tommy, Mike, come here. All right. And he'd have his hands behind his back. What do you want, right or left? And he had Army men or Navy men. It was some game or, you know, soldier. You know, it's about the same gift. But I remember that it was even. The older kids get, the more they sense fairness. I don't know how many Christmases my wife has done that. You know, if you have one child, you don't have to do this. But when you have more than one, it's, you know, are we being fair? Now, this kid's getting this, but this is their big gift, and they're going to think, well, man, that was a lot of money, and I get what? And she would always put on the bed all the kids' gifts and look. I don't want one to feel like they're loved more than the other. I said, let's just sell them all. Don't give any of them anything. So there was the anger that came up, and I'm sure Jacob didn't realize he did this. He was trying to be nice. Man, I'm so proud of myself. He gave him something. He didn't give anybody else. And it caused anger to brew and his sons to almost kill Joseph. Here's another one quickly here. Well, let's just skip over to Esther chapter 3, over right before Job, Esther chapter 3. And here we are. We're hurrying. Esther chapter 3. Esther and then Job. This is the old story of Mordecai. And let's notice here in Esther chapter 3 and verse number 5. Here's where the anger came in Haman's life. Because it was a lack of honor. A lack of honor. Esther 3 verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Someone gave me a book about General Patton. I've never read anything about Patton because he cussed so much. But they took the cuss words out of this book, so it's a very thin book. And so he was real big into this thing of you're always in army attire. We represent the Third Army. And you'll be in full uniform the whole time. When you see any soldier, you are to salute. And he was into it. So they were in their desert training outside of Indio, there in California. And he looked up. He saw a soldier, khaki pants, khaki shirt, didn't quite match, and a straw hat on, because it was hot, on top of a ladder running telephone wire. He looked up. He realized he wasn't in full uniform. Looked like partial uniform, and he sure didn't have the helmet on. Soldier, get down from there right now! And the soldier up on the ladder just looked and just kept working. I said, get down here right now! I'm giving you an order! He didn't move. Soldier, I could shoot you for disobeying! Finally, he looked down and says, General, I work for the telephone company. He said, I have to do this job because I heard about some mean old general that wants this done right away, and that's why I'm up here doing this in this heat. He said, I am the mean old general. I apologize. So here's all this anger. Sometimes we don't get the, quote, reverence that we deserve. And I'm not saying allow disrespect from your kids or soldiers that are lower rank. But here's Haman. Next time you're a general, be kind to the telephone workers. But look over here just for a moment. And then we see in Daniel chapter 3 for a moment. Daniel chapter 3. Let's look at this. He said, Pastor, I know all these stories. I am not learning anything. You're about to. So Daniel chapter 3 and looking down into verse number 13. So we see King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 3. He builds an image. I personally think it was an image of himself. 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. That's a tall man. And he said, when the band plays, you're going to bow down and worship. When the three Hebrew children did not, verse 13, 3:13, Daniel. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, in fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Rage, fury. Anger, a lot of anger issues. Now, with that in mind, let's look over to the book of Galatians for a moment. The New Testament, I know we're looking at a lot, and we'll give you a break in a moment, but Galatians chapter number 5, and we see the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit here, and I want you to just see the number of times anger and its form is mentioned. Look at this, Galatians chapter number 5, and look at these times. Look at this, Galatians 5, notice verse 19, now the works of the flesh are, 19 lists all the sexual sins, verse 21, look at this one, envying is a cousin to anger, I deserve to have what they have, I wish I was in their shoes, then it says murders, drunkenness, revelings, the such like. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, look at this one, hatred, variance, emulations, look at this one, wrath, strife. So about four of the works of the flesh are anger issues. Now, with that in mind, look over a little further in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, so we see how God feels about this. Ephesians chapter number 4. And looking down into verse number 26, verse number 26. Again, anger is an emotion that God has. He uses it. Sometimes he gets angry with us, his children. It is a good emotion if it's under control. No parent will raise good kids if they do not have some anger in them when they correct their kids. You cannot be smiling when you're corrected. It's You got to have what Patton called your war face on. They have got to know you have upset them, and then the smile comes on later. But Ephesians 4, look down please in verse 26. Paul is writing this church at Ephesus. He says, be ye angry. He said, there's a time to be angry and sin not. We mentioned last week, be not soon angry. Be not long angry. Be not wrong angry. Angry over the wrong things. You know, we have never had, as far as I know, since I've been here, anyone get upset because we didn't have enough soul winning times. Pastor, we're going to leave the church. We only have Saturday morning. What kind of church is this? We're letting the city go to hell. Never had that. I've had people mad enough to leave the church because we forgot their name on a bulletin one time. Or their kid's name somehow got dropped off the Christmas play, or they misspelled their... That is major, folks. But look here. Be ye angry, sin not. Notice what he says. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Thinking of anger, listen to this. Putin, Vladimir Putin, what country? Help me. What nation? Russia. You speak out against him if you live in Russia and you accidentally fall off a 36-story building like the next day. A little bit of anger there. What's the guy's name? The guy with the weird haircut in North Korea? I can't even pronounce his name. Was it? Kim Jong
Il. The second.
Okay. Okay, Kim. Brother Kim. Now he's not a brother. He got angry at his family thinking they wanted to remove him from power. And he fed his uncle to wild dogs that ate him alive. You'd think there's maybe some works of the flesh in some of these unsaved rulers. And then notice what he says. Neither give place to the devil. Anytime we have anger that we dwell on and don't let go of, we have given place to Satan in our lives. We've put out a welcome mat where he can whisper thoughts in our mind. So that's why it's so important. You have anger issues with a mate, resolve it before you go to bed. You have anger issues with a church member, you get alone with them, not in the lobby in front of everybody. Don't send some mass text to 48 people. And it's one-on-one. You sit down and say, have I offended you? What have I done? A sense of coldness. Did I say something? Did I not catch it? I had a very well-known person nationally texted me recently, have I hurt your feelings? I'm thinking, what? And as a man, have I hurt your feelings? Have I offended you? Have I said something? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, good night. You don't want to be the one that's always getting your feelings hurt and everyone's got to apologize to. Nor do we want to be the person that feels like, they're just a bunch of big babies. The whole world's a bunch of big babies. I've hurt all of them's feelings, but they're just... No. Sometimes you need a repair. It's going to be a child that's more sensitive than another one, and they're going to close up and clam up. And for years, there's going to be no closeness. Why? Because we have made them angry. And so we say, neither give place to the devil. Look down a little bit further. Notice how anger escalates. Verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. When anger's in the heart, guess what happens? Soon it comes out the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then notice what else is happening at the same time. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that wants to give us soul-winning power and use us, he's over there in the corner crying. He's grieving that he has forgiven us, but we can't forgive someone else. And then he says, verse 31, notice, unresolved anger. Now look what it turns into. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath. Now it's coming out physically. And anger and clamor. That means we can't shut our mouth. We're so upset. We're on a rampage. And evil speaking. Now it's evil against someone else. Be put away with you with all malice. The word malice. We think of that word when we think of Abraham Lincoln. That famous statement, with malice toward none. Malice is when bad happens to someone you don't like, you rejoice. When bad things happen to their family, yes. God says, I hate that. malice. It turns into malice. You say, well, what are we supposed to do? Verse 32, be ye kind one to another. Kindness is always in season. Well, they're a mean person. Be kind. Kill them with kindness. I'll kill them. Yeah, but with kindness. I love you, brother. No. Be ye kind one to another. Look, listen, tender-hearted. Tender is opposite of hard-hearted. Okay, let's find out. Only rich people answer this. Most of you have seen an abalone shell. You see them in people's houses. I went abalonian one time. Any abalone people here? You've abalone dived or abalone rock pick? It is hard. The hardest thing is putting on the wetsuit. You're walking out into the waves, and be careful when you pick that abalone off the rock, because if you don't watch your hand, the suction will suction you to the rock and you'll drown. I'm thinking, what? Well, I got some abalone, and the guy that was teaching me, he said, take these meat tenderizer hammers and beat the fire out of them, or they're going to be hard. Well, you know me, 2 minutes is plenty. Yeah, it looks great. I cook it. It's like eating an eraser. You chew and chew and chew and nothing happens. And you chew and chew and chew and chew and chew and chew and chew. So God says sometimes that's how, if we're unforgiving and have anger issues, we're like that abalone that was never tenderized. He wants a tender heart. A tender heart. I was reading this week. They say if you ever corner a rattlesnake and he's got that rattle going and he's real angry, sometimes what he'll do, he'll reach over and bite himself. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes our anger towards someone else poisons us. I thought that's pretty interesting. So with that in mind, where does this anger come from? And we'll just give it to you. I'll quote the verses here. And it's under causes here. We won't have time to get into it, but just physical things that happen. When a person has long-term anger issues, it causes higher cholesterol, more blockage in the blood vessels, possibility of strokes, higher increase of heart attacks, because that anger affects us physically. It affects us. So what are the causes? Quickly, number two, pride. Only by pride cometh contention. That's Proverbs 13:10. Why am I so angry? Probably pride. We deserve better. Can't believe they haven't treated me right. It's all pride. It's pride. Number three, quickly, sometimes we're provoked. The reference, if you want to jot it down, is Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What is provoking? Sometimes you can provoke someone by touching their stuff. That's why we always have this little talk before camp. And I'll say, all right, here we go. No prank. If you do a prank, it's okay if you do it to yourself. If you want to spray tear gas all over yourself and shaving cream, great. Don't do that to someone else. Why? It provokes them. Don't open their suitcase. It's not your suitcase. Don't touch them. Don't mess their hair up. Don't touch your clothes. Don't touch them. It provokes. I was in a store on Silverado Trail years ago, and I was with one of our men. I handed a tract to someone at the counter. I just bought someone. We were the only customers. I just bought someone. I said, hey, give you something to read. He did this. Dropped it in the trash. Not after I left. Right there in front of me. I said, you're going to pick that up. I said, no, I'm not. I said, yeah, you are. You didn't have to take it. You're not throwing our church tract in the garbage. Pick it up. And the guy with me, Pastor. I said, he's going to pick it up. Pastor. And then somehow, something went from like my feet all the way up into my hands. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, but I was provoked. Sometimes We get provoked. Sometimes we provoke. How would a child be provoked to anger? Several ways. One, expecting perfection. When I was 4 years of age, you could bounce a quarter off a bed that I made. Not Irene. Well, I'm sorry. His little four-year-old hands can't do that. He's not as talented as you were. Sometimes we expect perfection. You will make straight A's. Maybe the guy's a C person. Maybe that's what he's capable of. My brother made straight C's and D's, and he was a genius. I made straight A's, didn't have any common sense back then. Number two, comparisons. How come you can't be like your brother? How come you can't be like your sister's room is so neat. Yours looks like a tornado. Well, I've got different spiritual gifts, that's why. Comparisons. Quickly, number four, prayerless. Let's look at this one just for a moment. I think we're just about out of time. Prayerless, James chapter number four. We got about a minute, James chapter 4, and look at this one. Where does anger come from sometimes, Pastor? What is its source? And here we are. We'll probably just finish up here. What's its source? James chapter 4, look down at verse number 1. James is writing to mature Christians. He asks a question. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Where does this come from? You remember the Hatfields and the McCoys, the hillbillies? Yeah. That feud took place, I think, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. They couldn't solve the feud. Some people are like that. Some families are like that. Where does that war come from? Where does that anger come from? Why are we so angry? How come we can't get along with some people? James says, what are these wars and fighting? You're fighting with people. Come they not hence, even of your lusts? The word lust means desires that war in your members. The reason there's wars among nations is because there's wars inside of people. And the national war, it just finally comes out. Verse 2. Now remember, the word lust means want or desire. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. He's saying, you know, you just can't quite get what you want in life. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not. And here's the answer, because ye ask not. The word ask is the same word as pray. Prayer means ask. He's saying the reason you're so upset with people and fighting with people and can't get along with people, it's because you don't pray. Praying people are not angry people. I'm not saying you don't lose it every once in a while. You don't get upset. Maybe do something you should. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying ongoing people that constantly have people issues and friction and drama all the time, it's because when they don't pray, they want certain treatment from others and they're not getting it and it makes them angry. That's what he says right there. That's kind of interesting. I'll end with this. The story is told of a woman who was bitten by a mad dog. It looked as if she was going to die of rabies, so the doctor told her she should make her will. Taking her pen and paper, she began to write. In fact, she wrote and wrote and wrote. Finally, the doctor said, "This is surely a long will that you're making." She snorted, "Will nothing. I'm making a list of all the people I'm going to bite." Next week, we'll speak a little bit more of dealing with angry people and diffusing angry people. What do you do? Someone's mad. How do you do this? Sometimes they've got, what's the word, Brother Hanson? What's that word? Not mediator, people trying to calm people down. What? Yeah, negotiator. Each of us ought to get good at that. This friend can't get along with this friend. Okay, sit down. Okay, what can we do to work this thing out? There were some people in the Bible that were like that. They were wise. Abigail's city was going to be wiped out by David. She says, here's raisins, here's food, here's loaves to eat, here's five dressed sheep. Please forgive us for not honoring you. She diffused the situation. David said, blessed art thou, because if you wouldn't have come, I would have wiped out the city. We want to be wise like that, because we'll face anger every week of our life somewhere.